Blog Talk Radio.
Deliverance.com here on blogtalkradio.com. This is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. Now, if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 and 11 o'clock time slot here on Monday evenings, we're so glad to have you. Because the Lord is moving in a mighty way, it's my pleasure to let you know that you can also hear Live Deliverance broadcasts on Facebook at facebook.com/events/www.blogtalkradio.com. Radio Live Deliverance, also on Apple. We go to podcast.apple.us/.com.us, excuse me, and also on player.fm series, live/live deliverance. And as the Lord is moving and releasing his glory in a mighty way all over the world, we like to ask you to get involved with this ministry and invite some of your friends, family members, and even coworkers to come listen and be blessed. Don't forget that tonight's ministry will be made available for you to share with them about 10 minutes after the broadcast. Just go to the website, Live Deliverance, and look for Pastor Steve Lee and the date of the broadcast. So go ahead and get paper and a pen so that if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, I'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. And please know that I'm only here because of what the Lord said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth being no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted together by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of every measure, and to make an increase of the body of unto itself and the edifying of itself in love. Now, having said all that, we can get down to the business of the kingdom. So go ahead, if you would, and join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, guide our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this would be part three of a faithful word, an active word, a confirmed word. Just want to kind of go into the things that God has revealed to us to cause us to grow up in them, cause us to walk in them. You know, God expands his word. He confirms his word. He causes his word to grow so that his testimony would be seen, understood, and perceived by all. We are the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. And God wants to display his wisdom through us, the church. He wants people to be able to hear of the testimony that we give because we live a life of faith. We can't just see a promise and then quote a promise or release a promise and then go digging the promise up to see if the promise actually works. You have to believe the word of God before it actually has any benefit in your life. See, the words of his mouth, the Bible says he's not going to alter the things that have gone forth out of his lips. He's not going to change what he said. God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? So then our job is to simply hold on to the word, cause our lives then to be held up by the word. Last week we dug into Hebrews chapter 11, and again, the whole chapter is one that should build your fight, your faith, until you come to the place where you're looking unto Jesus, okay? Hebrews chapter 11 goes into Hebrews chapter 12, and then in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that because we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he says we're supposed to lay down the weight and the sin that easily besets us, and then we're supposed to run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. He is the one that authors and finishes or develops our faith. So just because you read the word and faith did come by hearing that word, but now the process of faith needs to happen. Because faith is going to have to grow in your heart. It's going to have to outgrow the things that come against you. See, every word that God has spoken, it is a faithful word. We can count on that. We can know that. But now we need to get into the second part of the title, which is now the word needs to become active. See? Not just a word that you visit, beloved. This has to be a word that is active in your life. This has to be that daily bread that you utilize. If we're not committed to the process, then the devil will cause us to give up on the process. We saw that in Mark chapter 4, and you can go ahead and we'll start there afresh and try to go on to the next phase of this. Because see, God is wanting us, needing us to display faithfulness to a faithful God. Okay? That's what we need to do. We need to display faithfulness towards God so that it doesn't matter what's coming at you, you know in whom you have believed. And you are persuaded that that which you have committed unto him, he's able to perform it. See, we get to declare and decree a thing, and it will be established unto us. See, it's not like we get to just quote something and then try to prove that we know more about what's going to happen because of what we said. No, we know what's going to happen because of what God said. See, that has to become ingrained, engrafted, as the Bible says in the book of James. The word that is the engrafted word is the word that's able to save and deliver your soul. Not just a quoted word, but an engrafted word. See? So that when the devil comes and checks the oil, if you would, then he would find that the word of God is abiding there. It's really in your heart, settled. A settled word settles you. An active word moves you. I'm going to kind of say that again. An active word moves you. See, we're not trying, I'm not trying to move the hand of God because of what I said. I would much rather move the hand of God by what he said. Because he knows that that word has taken root on the inside of me. That word is what I reach for. I reach for it in the time of trouble. I reach for it when things are going good. I reach for it in that same word that I reach for now becomes my praise. That word is not just my plea. That word is my praise. See, we have to live the word. See, because the word of God is alive, quicker than it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word quick there means living or alive. It's not just a rehearsed word, and I do appreciate how people came to that, you know, confess it until you possess it. I understand that concept. But it would be better that we confess it until the word takes root in us. See? Because when the word is rooted and grounded, we are settled in that truth. See, that's a word that's active. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 4. Again, this is a very familiar passage of scripture. And the reason that I go to it as much as I do is because Jesus said, if you don't know this parable, you won't know any of them. This is like the anchor, if you would, of my soul. See, I go here, and then I know exactly what is happening. I know what the devil wants to do. The word of God shows me what the devil's up to. Okay? It reveals to me what God has said, and then it shows me where the thief is trying to steal. Because again, and Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's only there for those three reasons. Okay? So he's trying to get the word out of my heart. Get the word secondarily out of my heart. Then it will also be out of my grasp. Okay? Because I have to believe that the things that I say will come to pass, and then I will have whatsoever I say. See? That's having the faith of God. Chapter 11. See, I'm not trying to visit the word of God or just quote the word of God. No, it's something that should be possessed. It should be my go-to. Okay? And as it is my go-to, then God can display his love in me, through me, and for me. Notice I put the for me last. Because a lot of times we put the for me first. You know, what has he done for me lately? See? No, please know, beloved,
God cannot do anything for you until he first does something in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, we live in a different dispensation. We live under the dispensation where God now wants to abide in us. I think we studied that last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says that God says he wants to walk in us. That's a whole lot different than walking by us or even walking with us. He wants to walk in us. I want to dwell in them. And because he dwells in us, then he will be our God and we shall be his people. See? Having therefore these precious promises, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That becomes our job. We begin to live by faith, not just visit faith. You know, sometimes I guess in times go past, it was in times past that God would wink at certain things. But see, now he's commanded us, all men everywhere, to repent. He didn't say he's suggesting it. He said he's commanding all men everywhere to repent. Okay? To turn their way of thinking so that you can turn your way of doing. Because as a man thinks in his heart, that's where you really find the man. God is asking us to elevate the commitment to his word. Because as we hold on to the word, the things that are affecting challenges in our lives, they have to let go. Amen. They have to let go. Because the word wants to be settled in us the same way it's forever settled in the heavens. See? We shouldn't go to God questioning. We are supposed to go to God believing. Okay? And, I mean, it's easy to know because the devil's going to come in and check the oil to see if, in fact, you believe. Okay? That if you were just going to be what people used to call a fly-by-night Christian. You know, sounds good on Sunday, but Monday you're going to give it up because you don't know how to walk in it. God wants to walk in you. And then as he gains more ground in your heart, you will be able to gain more ground in the earth. As he is, so are we in this world. See? So when we give him room to lord over that area of our life, lord over that situation that we're facing. See? Because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. See? So then when we bow our heart, then God steps forward in his word through our life. Oh, he wants to do. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro over the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a mature or perfect heart towards him. Not those that are questioning him, but those that have a mature heart towards him. God said it. That is what establishes it. See? We dealt into Hebrews chapter 11. It says that we understand through faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And so that's what we have to do with our life. We have to frame or build it by the word of God. See? Because as we do that, then we eliminate the place that we used to abide it with the devil in. Because we used to visit the devil, let him come in and just build all kind of rooms in our homes. See? Yeah, my pastor say, the devil eating your lunch. That means he's in your refrigerator. He's in your cupboard. But when you build your life around the word, we'll simply resist the devil then, and he will flee. He knows the word of God is true. He's not guessing. The Bible says, you believe there is one God? The devils believe and they tremble. The devils believe also and they tremble. They know that what God said is what's going to happen. They're just trying to get as much company in the arena of doubt, worry, unforgiveness, those things that are of the flesh. See, he's trying to activate your flesh so that you would then trust in what you activate. I hope you heard that. See, whatever you activate is what you trust in. It's just like when you lose some money in your house, and whatever room that you were in when you lost the money, what generally happens is you go back to that room and you tear that room up looking for what you know is there. Because you know you lost the money when you was in this room, sitting on this couch, sitting in that chair. See? Then you go and you remove everything that's in the way to allow you to get back to what you know is yours. See? We are past the point where we're living in the guess. Okay? I guess this will happen. I suppose this will happen. We have to become those that are confident in knowing. Those that know their God. Those are the ones that will be strong and they will do exploits. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It says those that know their God, not those that are wishfully thinking that their God is going to come through. No, those that know their God, those that are intimate with their God. See, I no longer want to play with the devil and then go and see if God will do something for me. See, that's not the way this works. I have to live there. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it shall be given you. See, abide there, live there. No longer visitors, no longer fly-by-night people that, again, that are saying what's needed to be said when you're in the middle of the service and you say all of the right things in the middle of the service, but you don't walk out of that service with the assurance of the word of God that's in your heart. Jesus said there are people that's going to say things with their lips, but their heart is not connected to me. Their heart is far from me. They are workers of iniquity. I like that. It's interesting. They work iniquity rather than work the word. Mm-hmm. See, they'll say the word, but they work iniquity. They'll say the word and harbor unforgiveness in their heart. See, they work the iniquity. Because Jesus told you, as you stand praying, forgive. Because your faith works by love. See, your faith doesn't work just because it's your turn. Glory to God. Your faith works by love. So then if love is not abounding, then we can simply say faith is not working. Okay? See, when you work the principles then cause you to be more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, beloved. More than a conqueror. I love that. More than a conqueror, in my understanding, means I don't have to sweat and fret over it. I can simply enjoy it because I'm more than a conqueror. See, we resist the devil, he flees. It didn't say I had to go beat up on the devil. I simply, my job is to resist him. And how do I resist him? I resist him by having an active word, a word that is just as active in my mouth as it is in my heart. That's what's required, according to Romans chapter 10, that it has to be in two places, that if you will say in your, if you will believe in your heart that God is, that Jesus is the Son of God and God raises from the dead, and then confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. See? It has to be in two places. In your heart, in your mouth. In your heart, in your life. See? It's that real. But if I give more credence to what the devil said, I believe a lie. This is something I love, because Jesus told us that every time the devil opens his mouth, he's lying. Every time. He's the father of lies. When he speaketh of his own. He was a liar from the beginning. So then I don't know why we give the devil that much room in our lives so that he can sow that lie, so that then we would have to deal with whether or not God is lying. God is not a man that he should lie. Okay? So we have to begin to work that into our heart so that it flows out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 that out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So whatever is in your heart in abundance, you can check it yourself. I don't have to come and try to check it. You can check it yourself. Because out of the abundance, the mouth can't help but to speak. See? So if sometimes if you hear your prayers that are coming from a position of fear, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that tells you what's in your heart. God has set this thing up so that we cannot lose. The devil has to tell on himself. Did you see that? Because what's in your heart cannot be hidden. It's going to come out of your mouth. That's what the devil's counting on, because once it comes out of your mouth, now the devil has a right to cause it to be in your life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's where you find the man. Okay? So we're going to begin to make the word more active, because the word is a faithful word. Every word that he spoke is a faithful word. It is a word full of faith. Both ways. It is a dedicated to its assignment, faithful, and it is also a word full of faith. I mean, really, God has set this up so that we win every time, all the time. Okay? Because his word is alive. His word is not just stored. It is alive. Okay? David said, I've hid your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. In other words, the word that's hid is the word that's going to cause me to operate correctly, so that I won't sin against you. See? What's hid in my heart, a faithful word hid in my heart, will cause me to walk correctly. See? I'll walk in power. I don't have to walk in doubt. Glory to God. I can walk in power. See? Because the word, I'm doing exactly what Peter did. Peter really didn't walk on the water. Peter walked on the word. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said one word to him. He said, come. So it didn't matter about the water. It wouldn't have mattered about the air. Whatever Jesus said, that's what Mary, the mother of Jesus, was telling us, taught us. He said, whatever he says to you, that's what you do. See? She had observed in the life of Jesus that the things that he said simply worked out according to what he said. So here we are, the first miracle of Jesus. Come on, that's good, sir. The first miracle of Jesus was based on what he said. Whatever he says to you, do that. Maybe that should help us to get an understanding of what God wants to do in our lives. Whatever he said, do that. Okay? So when we allow ourselves to meditate on the word, as he told Joshua, day and night, you will see or observe how to do what was written. God understood that our attention has been limited because of flesh. So he says, if I can get you to just meditate on the word day and night, there will be a revelation. Even in the Old Testament, he built it upon revelation. Jesus flat out told us that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. He says, no, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to build my church upon the rock of revelation. And because I build my church upon revelation, the gates of hell cannot win. They cannot prevail against it. See? We need to do exactly that. Build our lives on the revelation of the word. Meditate day and night, and you will see how to do. Well, I'm having trouble with this thought, or I'm having trouble with this sin or this victory. Well, begin to meditate on the word, and you will observe to do what was written therein. Now, if you're going to meditate on the challenge in front of you, then you will probably observe how to fail. Amen. Because you keep allowing the image that's before you to be one of failure. You bring the thought of what somebody else did in their life and they failed. Well, that's not your life, beloved. Amen. You don't have to have style faith. Have it to yourself before God. See? He didn't ask you to live on someone else's faith. Maybe I can get to that today. I got it written down in Acts chapter 19. We'll get back to that. See, you're supposed to live by the faith that you have. Because when you live by the faith that you have, nobody's able to stop you. Jesus let us know that. He would heal someone and he would say to them, as you have believed, so be it unto you. Your faith determines your victory. Amen. And as you meditate on the word, since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, then as you meditate therein, the faith that increases, that cometh by hearing, he said cometh. That is a perfect tense, if you will, perfect present tense. He didn't say faith that came. Faith cometh. In other words, the faith that's there now is the faith that will cause victory, the faith that will cause you to overcome. Amen. Okay? And, I mean, as you believe, so be it unto you. So he's not asking you to, he's not asking you to walk in the victory that you don't believe for. As you have believed, so be it unto you. See? The devil tries to lie and say, well, you didn't believe that, or that doesn't work for you. No, it doesn't have a choice. I heard him say it. Faith came. He spoke into my spirit, and faith came alive. And the faith that came alive is the faith that's necessary for my victory. Every time, all of the time. See? They that know their God, they're the ones that will be strong, and they will do exploits. Mark chapter 4, verse 13, again, he told him, he says, if you don't know this parable, you will, how then will you know all parables? So he's giving us a key right here. The keys that he leaves for us to use are the keys to the whole kingdom. They're not just keys to one door, beloved. He told Peter upon this revelation, he says, now that you got this revelation, and I will give, okay, let's just go over there, flip over there so you can see it, because I want you to know these things so that you don't have to worry about what the devil's doing. It doesn't matter. Chapter 16. And that's true, too. Chapter 16, verse 13. All right? This is where Jesus was establishing this so that they would know it for certain. This, if you would, came out of the mouth of Jesus in the witness of multiples, okay? The disciples were there, okay? So then he's letting this word be established. Because it was the witnesses were there. This is what he wants us to talk about. Okay, look at what he said. 16:13. And when Jesus was coming to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say that you are John the Baptist, and others Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now notice what just happened here. He says there's a report that's going around, and who do men say I am? So that means that there was varied opinions or thoughts about who he was, and as they thought, that's what they could receive. Okay, so then he said, now I know that's what's reported. Next question, but who do you say that I am? See this. It has to be personal, beloved. You can't live on somebody else's belief. It has to be personal. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. That's what Bar Jonah means. He said, you are empowered to prosper. The word blessed means empowered to prosper. Okay, that's good. Let's go. He asked them a question so that he could speak into their lives. Okay? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, you are empowered to prosper because of what you see. Because of what you believe. And he says, this belief did not just come through teaching, book knowledge. He says, blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He said, Peter, you're pretty solid right now, and I'm going to build my church on that which is solid. I'm not building my church on sinking sand. I'm not building my church on varied opinions. Who do you say that I am? See, I'm not going to build on varied opinions. You have to believe it in for yourself for it to work in your life. Amen. And then he said that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Maybe you want to circle the word shall there. That is an absolute imperative. It's not going to go down any other way. So then when I have a revelation, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. didn't say they would not try to attack. It just said they can't win. The way he says it in Isaiah is no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Okay? We're not going to stop the weapon from being formed. But as soon as you recognize, have the revelation that the weapon has been formed, it's over for that weapon because it cannot prosper. It can't get any bigger in your life than that right there. You see that? He wants us to understand that as he gives revelation, the platform which he's going to build victory in your life, he says that platform, the gates of hell, shall not be able to prevail. So, okay, when he said it unto Peter, and since the word shall is an absolute imperative, I can then know that same promise works in my life because the revelation is what he's building on. He was not building on Peter. He was building on the revelation. Well, we'll find out right quick. He wasn't building on Peter. Watch what happened. And he says, wow, and I say that the gates of hell will not prevail, verse 19, and that means it's connected to the previous verse. Is that correct? And because of revelation, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Not the keys to one door, not the keys to one part. I am giving you the keys to the kingdom. Amen. So then there should always be working in my life the thing that I have the keys for. The thing that I've been given the keys for. Okay? That's just, you know, kind of let that sink in. So then, beloved, let's just go in the way we say it. So if we have a something that's in front of us, an obstacle that's in front of us, it's okay because we have what? The keys that will get that thing unlocked because revelation will cause that to be moved. The gates of hell will not prevail. I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And because of that now, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So this is the good part about that. So then when we are experiencing a delay, okay, we should know that the delay can't stay. The delay is not a denial. Amen. It's not a denial. It just means use the keys that revelation is going to allow you to give the victory in. Use the keys. Oh, this is what the devil's doing, so this is what God said. Oh, this is what the devil did, so this is what God said. See, that word has to become active. I don't stop hearing the word and believing the word because of what the devil said or did. He just told me that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And you are the one with the keys to the whole kingdom. Glory to God. See? So if it's an area of finances, not a problem. We see that it's been blocked up, but I'm the one with the key. Glory to God. Well, now that's good, sir. I'll just say that. Notice that he gave you the keys to the kingdom. Again, not the keys to a door. So whatever passage seems to be blocked, I need to hear what heaven is saying. For whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What is heaven saying about it? Amen. The devil says you can't, and heaven says that you have. I didn't say you can. That's good. That's just, I heard what I said. See, the devil says you can't, and heaven says you have. Because God speaks in perfect present tense. I have given. I have given. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Okay. So since he's already passed the keys out, that is an active, that's something that's active in my life. Is that correct? I'm not still waiting on the keys. Just so that we get that. Okay, because see, sometimes we have heard and been taught that we have to wait on the Lord. Well, Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father until all of his enemies be made his footstool. So he's already seated. In other words, his work is finished. That's what he said, right? When he left here, he said, it is finished. So now you have the authority. Whatever you bind is bound. Okay, maybe I read it a different way. See, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Active tense, not future tense. Again, as he is, so are we in this world. So I'm not thinking that God's going to do something when Jesus said it is finished. Okay. I get to live because of what he did, the finished work at Calvary. I get to live on the side where the blessings flow, not where the that's good, sir. Not just where the side where they can be seen, but I'm on the side where the blessings flow. That's what he promised the children of Israel, that you're going to go to a land that floweth with milk and honey. Not that a land that has promise, that would have been good, but he said, I'm taking you to a land that's already flowing. Amen. This is the year 2024, and in the Hebrew system of numbering, that means the year of the open door. That's what four means. It means dalet, or the door. And then Jesus helped us out. He said, I am the door. So then it's no longer something that's withheld from me. At best, it's something that's reserved for me, not kept to be kept away from me. It's protected until I open the door. Amen. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Okay? Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So it's no longer something that I can't attain. If there is a door, it's open so that I can receive, or it's protected by the door so the devil can't mess with it. According to 1 Peter chapter 1. See? It is reserved in heaven. Let's finish this, and then we'll go over there and just see that one. Okay? Then after he said to Peter, you blessed, Peter, you got the keys. After he said that, then he charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth, he began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Peter took him and said, and began to rebuke him and said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be. But then Jesus turned and said, Peter, get thee behind me. Excuse me. Said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. Notice Jesus spoke to the spirit. Amen. He spoke to the spirit that was lying, the spirit that was moving Peter to think this way. And he said, devil, get out of here. Stop messing with Peter's thinking. The one I just said was blessed, empowered to prosper. Now, within three more sentences, Peter's going to tell me what I'm saying is not true. When I'm telling them, this is what's going to happen. He was trying to prepare them for, thank you, my God. He was trying to prepare them for victory before the attack came. Did you get that? He began to tell them, let's look at this. From that time forth, he began to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. He was preparing them for the battle that was coming. So might I ask a question? Would you think God is doing that in your lives? That he's preparing you for the battle that's coming? Don't you remember part of the job description of the Holy Spirit? That he's going to lead you into all the truth, teach you all things, bring to your remembrance what Jesus has said, and he's going to show you things to come. That's part of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Okay? So Jesus was trying to get them ready for what was going to come. And if Jesus wasn't worried about it, I don't know, help me out. It was his life, and he wasn't worried. But here come Peter worrying for Jesus. You think we do that sometimes? Try to help God out when God didn't need our help. See? The word has to be active. And what the devil tries to do is he tries to stop the word from being active in your heart so that he can place a lie in your spirit. And when the lie is available to you to meditate on and think about, then you'll receive the permission to steal the things away from you. Because that's what he said in Mark chapter 4. See? That there are only five things. We'll say these things because I was just trying to get you to see that Jesus frames your victory in your heart by your words. By your words, are you justified? By your words, are you condemned? Okay? Because he's given you the keys. God is no respecter of person. When he told Peter he was building upon revelation, then when revelation is introduced to your heart, he's still building his church. He's still building you because you are his church. He was no longer dealing with buildings. He was dealing with hearts. Okay? Because they were the ones that went to the same place of worship because that's all they knew and understood. But Jesus is trying to help them understand even right there. Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the whole kingdom. So if you got keys to the whole kingdom, Peter, do you think that you can only access God in the synagogue? Why would he give you keys to the whole kingdom if he's going to limit your access to what happens in the synagogue? Selah. See? And so that's what he's trying to do in us because we are the lively stone. And he wants to build us for his own habitation. Glory to God. Okay, so let's go back to Mark chapter 4, just so that you can see the things that we want, the principles here. Okay? He says, so if you don't know this parable, verse 13, you're going to have trouble with all the rest of them. If this parable is not understood by you, then you're not going to be able to function when there is a similar parable spoken to you about how the devil is trying to mess things up and how God is giving you the victory. He speaks it to you in a way that it requires diligence, discipline, to get these answers. If you're just thinking that they're just going to drop out of heaven, no, he wants you to pursue him. He says, I will be found of them that seek me. Okay? So he wants you to spend time, and he'll give you secrets. He'll reveal things to you. Verse 14, so we know this, that the sower is going to do what? Soweth the word. I'm glad he didn't say the soweth, soweth the word only. He says soweth, that's active, perfect present tense, isn't it? So that tells me that whenever there is something that I need to walk out, I need to go to where the sower is sowing. I will say this to you again, that the Bible says God is a jealous God, will not have any other gods before him. So then the temptation never comes before the word. The word comes first. Just because you didn't know what the word was, how to use the word, does not mean the word was not there. Watch what he says. And these are they, verse 15, which are sown by the wayside. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Circle the phrase, where the word is sown. Okay? So then we are on the other side of that which is sown. Is that correct? Because the word is sown. Okay. But when they've heard, then Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Thief only comes to steal, kill, destroy. So then I keep saying, he cannot steal something you don't have. He cannot destroy something that's not yours. He cannot kill the faith that you have now if you didn't receive it. He only comes to do that. Okay? But because you didn't know, okay, the devil can steal it because you didn't know how to protect it. Okay? And these are they likewise, verse 16, which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and so endure before a time. And afterwards, now this is what I wanted to show you. Affliction and persecution are two of the five things that the devil can use. He only has five. So the first one is affliction. The second one is persecution. And please note that it only arises for the word's sake. It's not, persecution did not come because the devil don't like you. Amen. That's not what the scripture said. It said that affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. In other words, he's trying to come and take away the word that was sown in your heart. And it says immediately they are offended. Why? Because they didn't know what they had. They didn't know how to protect it. Oh, this was a promise. It's going to take 5 years for this promise to come. See, you're offended in the word that was sent to heal and deliver. Okay? And these are they, verse 18, which is sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and number three, the cares of this world. Number four, the deceitfulness of riches. Number five, the lust of other things entering in, and that chokes the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Okay? So that's the devil's plan. The Holy Ghost just exposed it. Jesus just told us exactly what was going to happen. So then I need to know and have a certainty in my heart that when I see the devil's presence, I know he's coming to steal, kill, or destroy. Okay? Then it says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Some 30, foes, some 60, and some 100. Notice all of the cases said that the word was sown. The challenge was the ground good? The word was sown on a ground, on a heart that was already troubled about many things. Trying to say, I don't want this to happen. I don't want that to happen. Oh, here it comes. See, their heart was already troubled about many things. See? And then when the persecution or the affliction came, they gave up the word. They were offended that they said that God don't like them. Well, let me just ask a question, really. If God didn't like you, why did he send you a word of deliverance if he didn't like you? If he didn't like me, he should have just not bothered at all, if you would. But he was displaying his love by sending the word of deliverance. And I got mad because of a persecution or an affliction. And I gave up the word because of the affliction, not thinking that the word was there first, protect that, and the affliction would leave. My victory is in the word. My victory is in the word, not in my exercise of futility. Why this happened to me? That's an exercise of futility. He came to steal the word, to choke the word through the cares of this world, to choke the world through the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches would probably be a thing that I'm trying to prove to other people by what I have that God loves me. That would be a form of deceitfulness of riches. So you mean God didn't love you before you had stuff? Because I know that while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. That showed me his love. His love was not displayed because of what I possess. A man's life does not consist of the things that he does possess. We need to know that in advance. The reason that the devil is here is to steal, kill, and destroy what I have. See, he's not trying to block me. He's trying to get me to give up on what I already have. Amen. See, you've been made more than conquerors. Okay. So then he says, he gives a couple of more parables here. And then he said to them, is the candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? He just asks you, what are you going to do with the light that came from the word? Are you going to hide it under a bushel, under a bed, or are you going to put it in a prominent place where it can be seen? Okay, come on. It's like you're almost saying to the devil, here is the word, you'll never get it. I'm setting it upon a candlestick so that it will illuminate the room that I'm in. It will illuminate the place that I'm standing. Having done all to stand, I'm going to stand right here because this place is lit up for me so that I can see what you're trying to do. I'm going to allow the light of the word to work in my life, to work into my heart. Okay? I'm not going to hide the light under a bushel. Okay. Wow. I'm not going to hide the light under things, under a bushel. What do we put in a bushel? Things. So I'm not going to hide my light under things. God hasn't done this yet, so I'm going to hide the light. No, I'm going to display the light so that I'll know how to live in this room. Last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 24. And I'll just go ahead and just visit that again. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. It says, through wisdom a house is built or builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the chamber shall be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So then there are conversations in the spirit. Wisdom is speaking. Understanding is speaking. Knowledge is speaking. If I train myself to only hear the trial, the circumstances, and not pay any attention to that the circumstances came second. They came to steal, to kill, to destroy, to choke out. See? So I need to go back and hear what is wisdom saying. Because wisdom is going to tell me how to get the house built. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Understanding is speaking so that it will be established. So that no matter what the devil says or does, I have something that will stand against him. It will be established, settled, unmovable. And knowledge is speaking so that the chambers can be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Then he says, a wise man, in verse 5, a wise man is strong. It did not say a wise man will be strong, did it? It said a wise man is strong. In other words, he knows how to resist the lust of other things entering in. He knows how to resist the cares of this world. He knows how to stand against that. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will make war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. But wisdom is too high for a fool. He doesn't declare, he does not open his mouth in the place of merchandise or in the place of the gate, in the coming in and the going out. He doesn't say things. He doesn't make declarations. See? Because wisdom is too high for a fool. So he don't talk about, he doesn't release the power of God through his words. We've got to understand. Oh, yeah, let me finish this up. Some more scripture just for you to see. It says, he that devises to do evil is called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So now we can go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See? I'm trying to give you these things precept upon precept, line upon line, so that you will know, you know, what the devil's doing and what God has already done. And then I can live off of what God has already done. And if I'm living off of what God has already done, I don't have to be concerned about what the devil is doing. Hello. See? Because a man that has knowledge is a wise man, is strong. See? But if you're strength is, you got a little strength. Says if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting at verse 13 and following. It says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. So he says, we got the same spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith believes. And because I believe, I speak. Okay? So then that helps me not be frustrated about what the devil's doing, because I have the same spirit of faith. I believe and therefore speak. Okay. So then if I don't believe, should I be talking? See? He says, the only reason I should be talking is I believe. Therefore, speak. It didn't say that I'm under attack and I speak. He says, the reason your mouth should move is because you believe, because you have the same spirit of faith. See? Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So then if I'm talking in fear, I don't know how thanksgiving could be attached to that. And since I'm not allowing thanksgiving to speak, then I'm not giving God the glory, am I? I'm abandoning, according to verse 15, all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace. So if I'm complaining and murmuring, I've just abandoned grace, haven't I? Because all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving redound to the glory of God. For this cause, we don't faint. See? So if I'm not allowing my words to come because of thanksgiving, I'm going to faint. Because when I release the thanksgiving and tap into the grace and the glory of God, I will not faint. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, when you understand that glory is supposed to be the thing that moves me instead of fear, I don't talk because of fear. I don't talk because of frustration. When I talk, I speak because I believe. Therefore, I speak. I've got the same spirit of faith. Okay? Then I don't have to worry about fainting, but my inward man is renewed day by day. This is just a light affliction, and it's but for a moment. When I have this frame of reference in my heart's position, then it will begin to work for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And it'll keep me from doing the wrong thing while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. They are subject to change. But the things that are not seen, they are eternal. See, I could bring to scale eternal weight of glory. The devil's doing whatever he's doing, but on the other side of the scale, I am putting an eternal weight of glory. An eternal weight of glory would be a glory that works from today through forever. Because eternity has to include my now, otherwise it's not eternal. And he says, if I would look at it from this perspective, speak because faith is alive, because faith is working. See, we already had a faithful word. Now we have to cause that word to be an active word. We have the same spirit of faith. Believe, therefore, speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus. because all things are for our sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many might redound to glory, the glory of God. This is why we don't faint, because our inward man is renewed day by day. I ain't even got to wait for the season when everything is over. I'm going to be renewed day by day for this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's why I don't have to look at the things we just seen, but I can look for the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporary, subject to change, but the things that are not seen, they are eternal. So I guess, again, we're just asking, which way are you going to do it? Are you going to take that faithful word and then cause it to be an active word in your spirit so that it can be an active word in your life? Or are you going to allow the enemy that comes to steal? Didn't say he came and stole. He just comes to steal. He seeks those he can devour. He's not devouring everybody. Again, we can just resist him and he'll flee. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we do thank you and we bless you that your loving kindness and tender mercies are able to sustain us no matter what we're going through. And we will be those that will know that this is a light affliction and it is just for a moment. But our eyes have to be set on you. We're not looking at the things that are temporary, that are subject to change. Circumstances will change, but your word liveth and abideth forever. Thank you, Father, that we can count on, believe in your word, and because we believe, therefore we speak. Cause us to know how to walk in victory according to that word that might give you the glory, the exceeding weight of glory, that might give you the praise and the honor that's due your name. We ask and receive it as done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, again, as we get to this time, we'll ask you that if you had any questions or comments about the ministry, that you can just go ahead and give God the glory here. Because this is not just asking you if you understood everything. What did God speak into your spirit that will strengthen you in the days to come? 770-843-1578. You have the mic. 770-843-1578. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Go ahead.
I have a comment about the ministry in general, period, because last week you were commenting about us not asking questions, and you were speaking of framing, and in your career life, framing is a vital thing. In mine, I was trying to find a place, where do I do this, because this wasn't something that I did, and how do I understand this? But as the week went on, God began just to open the thing up, so I didn't know what question to ask. But as you meditate on it over the week as you go, God opened it up so big. And then when I come in today, everything is just fitting right into place where it needs to be. Amen. So that's my comment on for this week.
Amen. Amen. Glad to hear that. As I say, this is a testimony that people can hear. That even though I didn't know what to do yesterday, I know what to do today because he spoke into my life a word that was faithful, and now that word is active, and victory comes out of that. active word. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That blessed my soul. Area code 770-946-7501. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry today? Area code 770-964-7501. Any questions or comments? Amen. Area code 404-536-7829. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Go ahead.
Just a good word. Just a good word to live by. I appreciate the ministry.
Amen. We're glad that you were here to join us on the ministry tonight to give you something to, again, that you can go to the devil and say, see, I told you. Again, area code 770-964-7501. Just want to make sure I give you an opportunity. If you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, amen. Go ahead.
It was like a time of refreshing.
Okay, you're kind of breaking up. Okay, go ahead.
I just felt like it was a time of refreshing when I heard it. No questions, just good, solid word that you can bank on. So I was refreshed by that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again for being on the call and just giving God the opportunity to put things in your spirit that will definitely build you up. That's what the Bible says. It says that the word is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to really stand out so that people then will be invited into the glory that God has for them. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I will then draw all men unto me. Amen. Amen. So again, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, if you've been challenged to grow in any way, please allow God to reveal to you how you can be a blessing through the giving of tithes, gifts, and offerings. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com, find the donate tab, and sow your seed. We are only on the air because of your generous gifts and love offerings. Those of you who are cyber members here at livedeliverance.com, we thank you for seeking the Lord and partnering with us to take the gospel to all the world. We also would like to remind you that you can invite your friends, family members, and coworkers to join us here on Monday evening from 9 to about 10:30. They can listen and participate in the broadcast as we all grow in faith and fellowship in the Spirit right here at livedeliverance.com. So until the next time that we gather together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Love you all. Be blessed.